Hey guys, just a reminder, my online course is Birth Story Academy, and you can enroll in it at birthstory.com. It's taught by me. You can be in your jammies. It's online. It's pre-recorded, and it has a ton of freebies and downloads. It's everything that you need to prepare for your hospital birth. So hope to see you in Birth Story Academy. Today's episode is with Catherine Cross, the CEO of Anja Health, and we are answering all of the questions that you guys wrote in with that you tagged me on at birth.story.academy on Instagram about cord blood, tissue, and placenta banking. Let's get to it. What does a contraction feel like? How do I know if I'm in labor? And what does a day of labor look like? Wait, is this normal? Hey, I'm Heidi. My best friends call me Hides. I'm a certified birth doula, host of this podcast, and author of Birth Story, an interactive pregnancy guidebook. I have supported hundreds of women through their labor and deliveries, and I believe every one of them and you deserves a microphone and a stage. So here we are. Listen each week to get answers to these tough questions. Birth Story, where we talk about pregnancy, labor, deliveries, where we tell our stories and share our feelings. And of course, chat about our favorite baby products and motherhood. And because I'm passionate about birth outcomes, you will hear from some of the top experts in labor and delivery. Whether you are pregnant, trying desperately to get pregnant, or you just love a good birth story, I hope you will stick around and be part of this Birth Story family. Hey, Catherine, welcome to the Birth Story podcast. Welcome back, I should say.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be back. And yeah, I feel like I've gotten to know you so much better since last time we recorded. So I'm really glad to be doing this again.
So Catherine Cross was on episode 88 of the Birth Story podcast about 3 years ago. And to date, it is one of our most popular episodes that's ever been listened to because we are here with the CEO of Anja Health. So this is Catherine's like baby, you guys. Like she dreamt this vision up and created a company in such a needed space with cord blood, tissue, and placenta banking. So we're going to answer all of your questions today with Catherine. And I'm excited to like update this episode because so much research is happening so quickly.
Yes. Yeah.
So Catherine, let's start at the beginning again. Catherine and I met on Instagram. And Catherine had no idea how similar our stories were and how powerful our paths crossing would be. So let's start, Catherine, with your story. Why Anja Health? Why cord blood, tissue, and placenta banking?
So I named the company after my brother, Andrew, so hence the name Anja Health. But essentially, when I was three and he was one, he was in a near-drowning accident. So he basically walked into a lake and we had a couple family members there, but everyone thought someone else was watching him. So he walked into the lake and then suffered from a near-drowning accident and was ultimately diagnosed with cerebral palsy basically within a day because he had suffered brain damage from the near-drowning accident. And so after being diagnosed with cerebral palsy, my parents started looking into treatments for cerebral palsy and found that one of the most promising options for treatment is using cord blood stem cells. So specifically stem cells from the blood inside of the umbilical cord vein, which you can generally see very prominently on the cord. But essentially, it's really rich with stem cells, which are like blank cells that can be used to replace and repair damaged cells. And what folks have started to do in the past 30 years or so is actually freeze those cells, very similar to freezing eggs and sperm. And also freeze stem cells from the cord tissue, aka the cord, and also the placenta, and then using them for future stem cell treatments. So things like cancers, heart disease, liver disease, even HIV has become really common and is one of the biggest research advancements since we last recorded. But yeah, one of them is cerebral palsy. So children with cerebral palsy have received their own cord blood stem cells back into their body, very similar to a blood transfusion, and they've been able to observe motor and social skill improvements in kids with cerebral palsy. So my parents started looking for a cord blood match for my brother so that we could use that treatment, but we didn't save mine or my brother's cord blood stem cells, so we didn't have automatic access to a match and instead had to search through donor pools. But if you try to search through a donor pool, it can be really difficult to find a match, especially if you're a person of color or mixed race, because most donors are solicited in high income areas, so they tend to skew white, and most HLA matches are ethnically aligned. So ultimately, we couldn't find a match. And then when he passed away, I wanted to do something that could have helped him and sort of be the change I wanted to see in the world. And I founded Anja Health in his memory. So we help pregnant parents bank cord blood, cord tissue, and placenta stem cells to make sure they get the greatest volume and variety of stem cells right at birth. And we also offer the service of picking it up from birth and bringing it to our lab where it is frozen so that parents can access the stem cells for future disease treatment in their family.
Your company is so beautiful. And if you're new to the podcast, well, welcome. I hope you guys stick around for a while. If you are not new to the podcast, then one of the stories you may have heard is about my son Jagger. And my son Jagger suffered a stroke at birth due to lack of oxygen to the brain from a double nuchal cord. That means the umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck several times. It tightened so much so that his heart rate decelerated and we even lost it for maybe 6 to 8 seconds. And in that time of lack of oxygen to the brain, he suffered a stroke and was diagnosed with cerebral palsy when he was 2 years old. It is still very hard for me to tell that story. And so that is how Catherine and I came together, you guys. She reached out not knowing my story at all. And the reason that we have partnered for the last several years is because the very first question that we were asked by the neurologist when I found out that part of my child's brain was dead, essentially, the tissue had died, was, did you bank cord blood? And the answer was no. And it is my deepest, most painful regret of my entire life. Because what Catherine and Anja Health do is my child could have received a stem cell transplant with his own stem cells, those blank cells, that could go into heal and response mode to help heal the part of his brain that was damaged, kind of like Andrew's brain was damaged with drowning, lack of oxygen, and my son's suffered cerebral palsy from lack of oxygen to the brain also. Now, that's just a common thing that Catherine and I happen to bond on, right? And so I am on a mission, just like she's on a mission because of Andrew, I'm on a mission because of Jagger, that every single person that I encounter that is pregnant knows about cord blood, tissue, and placenta banking, just in case, because we don't know what our life story is going to be. And if I can prevent one person from sitting in a neurologist's office and at being asked about cord blood banking, that could be life-changing and or life-saving. I don't want another person that I've encountered for their answer to be no. If you meet me, you are likely going to be banking your cord blood. And I hope at the end of this episode, it's something that you take very seriously. So Catherine, let me ask you about other things besides cerebral palsy. You had mentioned like HIV.
Yeah.
We mentioned cancers. So can we just kind of run through how many like known diseases, cancers, things right now can stem cells from the cord blood and the tissue and the placenta? How many things are FDA approved and what are people looking at? Like, what are these stem cells being used for other than our stories?
Yeah, so there's about 85 diseases that the FDA has approved to treat with cord blood. However, there are over 1,000 ongoing clinical trials looking at other use cases as well. I actually have a chart that describes sort of the breakdown of clinical trials currently happening in the US and what they tend to be attributed to. So oncology is a large portion of them, about half, so any cancers. But going down the list in order of remaining diseases that clinical trials are currently addressing using cord blood, it includes cardiovascular, so essentially heart diseases, congestive heart failure, myocardial infarction, critical limb ischemia, and then next would be musculoskeletal, so things like spinal muscular atrophy, osteoarthritis, muscular dystrophies, and cartilage defects. And after that would be issues relating to the central nervous system, genetic disorders, dermatology, hematology, infectious diseases. So the list really goes on and on. But yeah, I think the possibilities are truly endless, and the more recent research advancements generally will fall under the clinical trial arena, or sometimes it's actually someone receiving a cord blood treatment for a certain disease, but it ends up being able to help with something else that they had, and then that becomes big news. I think because cord blood, cord tissue, and placenta stem cells are able to regenerate all different types of cells across the body, the possibilities are essentially endless and potentially endless for what it could be used to treat because there are so many different types of ailments. I would say the most common use cases is definitely cancers.
Now, there are some things that we're talking about that are like, quite sad and quite dramatic, especially when you're talking about like childhood leukemia or strokes in children, cancers in children, falls. They fall off the monkey bars and they get a brain injury. But a lot of the things that you're mentioning, Catherine, are things that happen to us in adulthood, right? Not just in our child. And this was a quote from my mother that blew me away when we were talking. She's like, most of our relationship, Heidi, has been with both of us being adults. Like our relationship where you were my child was a short period of time. And I thought, that's crazy now that my children are halfway through their childhood. And thinking of my adult children, right? Like having arthritis, being in high school and tearing their ACL, right? Like there's just so many things that we develop as humans, right? And some when we're really young, and that is often very tragic. And then some of these things we think of as just being sort of natural progressions of aging. But this next generation has such an unbelievable opportunity that past generations didn't have with access to their stem cells. So let's talk about if someone chooses to bank these products with you, okay? Does the government then just give you full access? Like if I walk in and say, I need a knee replacement, but before I have a knee replacement, I want to use my stem cells that I've banked for the last 25 years and I want to inject them in my knee.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah, well, so the process for release, we have since we last talked had more releases. So, yeah, it's definitely an interesting process to observe. Essentially, our medical director collaborates with a physician or provider of the patient's choice, and our medical director will approve the release of the stem cells, and then it will be shipped to the physician that will oversee the treatment. So, honestly, it's really up to the physician overseeing the treatment. I would say there's still the hurdle of our medical director approving. Our lab director generally oversees the approval as well. And that's all largely reliant on the physician that you're working with having like a legitimate concern. So it's really just about you finding the physician that you're going to work with and them being able to administer the treatment in an ethical way. I think there's very few things that stem cells could be used for unethically, because it's from an umbilical cord and placenta. I always tell folks if they're interested in getting a stem cell treatment, to just try and find a physician to work with, which you can generally find through whatever physician you're already seeing for the condition.
Well, what I want to do is I want to take listeners on a case study. So let's rewind my life. And let's say I had partnered with Anja Health and I had banked cord blood and or tissue and or placenta cells with you for Jagger. And then 2 years later, which is the average age of diagnosis for cerebral palsy, he's diagnosed. I walk into the neurology office. They ask me, do you have stem cells banked? And I say, yes. Yay. Could you walk me through 2 years earlier when I was in labor? What did that look like? Right. Yeah. And then 2 years later, with an FDA approved diagnosis, kind of what that would have looked like. Do we use all the stem cells? Do we use some of the stem cells? So let's start with the pregnancy. What would it be like if I was pregnant, Heidi, and I was reaching out to you saying this was something that I was interested in doing? I listened to a podcast and I want more information. What happened?
Yeah, well, you could use a discount code that you could find with Heidi and get our kit. And then we'll ship that to you basically by 30 weeks. Or if you register with us sooner, then we'll wait until 30 weeks to send it. Or if it's after 30 weeks, we'll send it immediately. And if it's right at your birth, like, we'll do everything we can to get it there as soon as possible. So yeah, we'll get the kit to you. The kit comes with a cord blood bag, which is very similar to just a regular blood bag, and two jars for the cord tissue and the placenta. And then essentially after you give birth, your provider will use all of the tools in the kit to collect. So they will stick the needle attached to the cord blood bag into the umbilical cord vein and let the blood flow, and then cut off inches of the cord tissue to put in the cord tissue jar that we have. And then place the placenta in our placenta jar, and that will all go inside of our kit. You can scan the QR code on the outside of our kit to let us know where you are, and we'll come and pick up your stem cells and bring it to our lab in New Jersey, where it will be frozen. And from there, we just check in. We do regular pulse check-ins with parents to ask how they're doing, and if they have any feedback with us, anything like that. But yeah, our stem cells are there. And if you ever wanted to tour our lab, even, we've had parents request that, and you totally could, in Allendale, New Jersey. From there, 2 years later, you can log into our parent portal, and from there, let us know that you're looking to use your stem cells. And we will likely reach out to you for additional support through the process. But essentially, it's just as simple as filling out a form and letting us know what you're using it for. And we'll ask your physician to do the same. We will also reach out to your physician just to make sure that the form is completed correctly. In practice, it should only take like a few minutes for each party to complete the form. But because we work with our lab works with the FDA and the ABB and everything, we just want to make sure it's all up to standard. So we'll probably coordinate with you and your physician to make sure that it's all correct. And then we'll have those forms approved with our medical director and our lab director. And then from there, it's just planning a time and date to ship the stem cells. And the physician that's receiving them will have to have a place to store them prior to the treatment, unless you plan on doing the treatment like immediately when they arrive. So yeah, we've done quite a few coordinations, and you can choose how many of the compartments you want to utilize. We put the cord blood and the cord tissue into five separate compartments. And so you can technically use one at a time. For the releases that we've done so far, they've done like two or three at a time. So you could potentially administer a few different samples over the course of a couple of weeks or months. But generally, folks will throw everything they can at a treatment that they need. So it's usually all for the same use case, but the actual treatments might happen over a course of a couple months.
Awesome. So you could see, like in a case with Jagger, we were doing physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech therapy because we didn't have access to stem cells. And so the only choices were early intervention therapy for rewriting or remapping the brain. But we could have used like one or two of those samples and then given it a few months and seeing how he was doing with milestones, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe a year later, we could have done another transfer. Okay. So I'm going to take us like a pause, but back to that delivery room, because since I'm the birth doula in the delivery room and most of my clients are banking their cord blood, tissue, and placenta with Anja because of my personal story and I'm their doula and because of my relationship with Catherine and with Anja Health, I get to see this a lot. I mean, like several a month, you guys. So the parents get this like cute, beautiful box and it's shipped to them prior to delivery. And so the most important thing I tell my clients you have to do is remember to put it in your car. Okay. I keep one in my car just in case because sometimes they forget, but just remember to put it in your car. And one of the biggest hesitations that my clients have is with they want to delay cord clamping until the cord stops pulsating, until there's no cord blood, well, just a little bit of cord blood actually left in the umbilical cord and that cord tissue. Well, delaying cord clamping through a true delay until the placenta has already been birthed or until the cord has stopped pulsating means it's often there's not enough cord blood left in the cord to get a full collection. So it's a fine balance. So Catherine, I know your box says delay 2 minutes, I believe, up to two minutes.
Okay. Yeah.
So I am going to be by the books, you guys, up to 2 minutes. But I would also like to tell you that one time we delayed cord clamping for 18 minutes and still got a full collection because some babies are born and their cords are thick and plump and purple and coiled and just filled. Like they could probably have 10 donations, right? So as an expert in the birthing field, as the obstetricians and the midwives are also that you're working with, they can hold the cord and feel it. And what I say is to watch until the cord pulse is slowing and the cord is starting to uncoil and that dark, rich purple is starting to fade. Then you have enough time where both the baby is getting an abundance of that amazing cord blood and you still get an appropriate amount of cord blood to bank. So what is it? Is it measured in milliliters or cc's? Yeah. Milliliters. What's the target milliliter that we're looking for?
Yeah. So at least 40. And I think if they're generally from a plump cord, as you mentioned, then it would probably be up to over 100. And we will store as much as we receive. So we'll even store like 10 milliliters plus. But yeah, the general goal is 40 plus because you can potentially still use 10 or so for a treatment. But yeah, we aim for 40 because that's a good amount. But yeah, we see up to like 120-ish milliliters. So yeah, we've had other OBs have similar procedures that you mentioned, where they'll just observe it and really be able to tailor it. There are other things that you can do too. Like if you just hold the cord up, gravity will let it fall into the cord blood bag and the needle that is attached. So yeah, you can do that. Also milking the cord helps where you really like place fingers on each side and make sure that it's flowing downwards and that you're sort of squeezing it out similar to a bottle of toothpaste that's almost up. So you can do milking and gravity and just observe the cord and make sure that you can get as much as possible. So yeah, we generally abide by 2 minutes because not all providers are going to really sit there and observe the behavior of the cord and the blood flowing into the cord blood bag. So we abide by 2 minutes, but if parents really want to do more than 2 minutes and even more than 18 minutes, as you mentioned, then they can still store cord tissue and the placenta with us, and we will not charge them for storage of the cord blood. They can also just attempt to do as much as they'd like. And if we receive less than 10 milliliters of cord blood, we won't store it and we won't charge you. And we'll just store the remainder of what's collected. Yeah, we generally recommend that parents choose to bank all three for that reason in case something like that happens. And our most popular option is to do all three for that reason as well, and because you get the greatest volume and variety of stem cells.
Okay, so I have a hard question for you that all the parents ask me.
Yeah.
Because the placentas are so bloody, right?
Mm-hmm.
They always ask, well, like say we didn't get enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, well, why can't we just pull blood from the placenta? Why does it have to come directly from the umbilical cord?
Yeah, well, so it's all different types of stem cells, and the cord blood stem cells are hematopoietic stem cells, which are really inclined to blood regeneration, whereas the cord tissue and placenta are rich with mesenchymal stem cells, and the placenta in particular is rich with amniotic epithelial cells. So those are more inclined to tissue regeneration. So you can kind of remember it with cord blood, blood regeneration, cord tissue and placenta, tissue regeneration. I would say that is definitely an option to just store the placenta, but I would say just to make sure that you have the greatest volume and variety of stem cells, as I mentioned, to store all three. And we've also seen case studies where it's even combined. Like I've read a study about a young boy named Quentin from New Orleans, and he was a teenager when he was diagnosed with leukemia. And then his little sister had her cord blood and placenta stem cells used for his leukemia treatment, and it was successful. So I think there's always room to have more and just add more potency to whatever treatment you're potentially looking for.
Sure. That begs the question, what is the chance that siblings are going to be a match?
Yeah, so siblings are 75% match and parents are 50% match. We get a lot of half sibling questions too. So that's a little bit more up in the air because they are a half sibling, but it's likely that they will be at least a partial match. And so then you won't run into the issue that my family did of not being able to find a match. Like if you store for one baby, then you can definitely potentially use it for other family members. But we typically have repeat customers just because you want to make sure you can guarantee access for as many people as possible. So yeah, it's an option to potentially have it for others.
Sure. Now, these are minors, okay, until they turn 18 years old. And so you just said 50% match for parents?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say I've banked the cord blood, and then I get a type of cancer that is one of the FDA known approved cancers where that is supported with research by stem cell transplants. Am I allowed to use my child's cord blood when it's technically theirs and they're a minor and they can't release it to me?
Yeah, definitely. It just depends, like I said, on the physician you're working with and their coordination with our medical director and our lab director. But it's definitely an option that's worth investigating. And if you're doing the cord blood transplant, you will have to see if you are an HLA match, but you will likely be the 50% match, as I mentioned. But yeah, for the cord tissue and placenta stem cells, they actually don't require a match. So you could utilize that as well, depending on the use case.
Okay. Same with siblings, I'm imagining. Like, I'm just thinking about, like, if it's a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old sibling, like, they're still minors. So the parents are able to make that decision, essentially, to utilize banked cord blood to support the other sibling without that child's permission. Is that fair to say? Okay.
Yeah.
So when does a child become the owner of their own cord blood?
Yeah. So when the child turns 18, then it's officially their property. So that's part of the reason why we package our payment plans into 20 years. However, we also just recently launched lifetime storage options. So you can instead opt to just cover it for a lifetime, which we technically qualify as 72 years, but obviously in 72 years, we won't reach out and, and ask for more. So it just depends on what you want to store it as. But yeah, for that reason, we have the 20-year option. And then at that point, the child themselves can potentially pay for it on their own or whatever your family situation is, but it will be their property.
Yeah. Now, what happens if something happens to the child, like they pass away and the parents no longer or the guardians no longer want to continue to bank? Or if their financial situation changes and they can no longer afford it, what would happen to their cord blood tissue and placenta?
Yeah, well, so we try to give parents a lot of leeway because we definitely know that, you know, life happens and it is a long-term commitment to bank with us. We try to just work with parents on their financial situation if they do want to continue storing. But if they don't at all, there is the option to potentially donate it to research. Our lab has a partnership for that. And of course, we wouldn't do that without your consent because it is your property. So it would be illegal to do so. But we do have an option for you to do that. And some parents, I think, are actually excited by that as an option. It just depends what you want to do. If you want to continue storing but are having financial issues, we'll try to work with you on that. And come up with some solution. We've done things with parents, like sort of abbreviating their plan or like having them pay a lump sum annually because that's easier for them. So yeah, we can work with parents for sure. But if they don't want to store, then we can release it and they can choose to either dispose of it or donate it. So yeah, it's really up to parents. We try to definitely get them on the phone, and there's a release form for every step of that. So it would not be done without the parents' consent unless we don't hear from them for an extended period. Then in our client agreement, in terms of services, it says that we will take it on. And at that point, we donate it to research. But yeah, we do not profit from that in any way. And yeah, if it is basically just if we don't hear from parents at all, but that rarely happens.
Yeah. So you guys, we're recording this in 2024. And one of the things that I want to make sure we're very careful about is we're not committing to talking about price because that changes, right? So even when we recorded 3 years ago, that was different than it was today. And in some cases, like the kit is actually less expensive than it was 3 years ago. So you can go to anjahealth.com, anjahealth.com. And you can reach out to Anja directly to get more information about cord blood, placenta, and tissue banking, and also like the costs that are associated with it, as well as the very generous payment plans that are spread out over many years. For that same reason, I'm going to tell you the discount code, which is birth story. But I'm not committing to what that code gives you off because it's ever changing. So sometimes Anja and I do partnerships for special holidays like Mother's Day, and maybe the code birth story does more that day than it does other days of the year. So the minimum it's been off is $20, and the maximum has been over $200. So just kind of keep in mind whatever promotions are running that day, that month, that year, that birth story will give you a discount and lets Catherine know that also that you listened to this podcast episode. So I have two more questions for you, Catherine. And the first one is about public banking versus private banking. And we touched on this a little bit with race, but could you just give us the top couple of reasons why people would choose private banking with Anja Health over public cord blood donation?
Aside from saving the stem cells for yourself, you can potentially donate your cord blood, not the cord tissue and placenta. Unfortunately, there aren't as many places that accept donations for that. But there are other folks, for instance, like my brother, that would sit on, like a registry and basically wait for a donor to come in who's a match. And so you can potentially donate your cord blood to that pool for someone that might need it, very similar to donating an organ. It's actually interesting. I'm a part of a couple of mixed race Facebook groups because they used to be meme pages and that would basically post memes about being mixed race. But I've actually seen a few times people posting that they are desperately looking for a cord blood match and they're looking for donations. So there are people that definitely need it. And for sure, it's a better option than throwing away cord blood, which often happens and most of the time does happen. But I still think that keeping the cord blood for yourself is probably the best option. Number one, because then you can guarantee a match for your family members. But number two, your chances of survival are actually much higher if you're related to the donor, which is a study that the New England Journal of Medicine published in the past few years. I think the best option for everyone would be if they had their own stem cells saved, because then you could increase the chances of survival rather than kind of this like cross matching happening for cord blood in registries and for people searching for donors. So yeah, we have a partnership with Be the Match if you do want to donate, but I would say probably the better option would be to save your own stem cells with a company like Anja Health.
Yeah, and I'll give another perspective. It also depends on the geography in which you are at. So I am in a big, huge city, Charlotte, North Carolina, and there is only one birthing hospital that actually does public banking. So if you are birthing in the other hospital system or at any of the other regional hospitals, public cord blood banking is not an option. So your options are waste medicine. I'm going to say, I probably can't say medicine, but I'm going to say medicine. You can't say medicine, but waste this product or privately bank it, because public banking is not always even an option. So my second question was on placenta encapsulation, because Catherine, you know, as a doula, I am a placenta encapsulation specialist, and I very much believe in placentaphagy, which is the placenta as medicine when it is ingested, and the things that it can do for a birthing person immediately postpartum. But one of the very cool things that we've talked about is how big a placenta is and how much needs to be banked. So could we talk about, like, let's say someone comes to you and says, I just want to ingest my placenta, or ceremonially, like, this is culturally for me, I need to take my placenta home and do XYZ with. How big of a segment do you need of the placenta in order to bank with Anja Health? Like half the placenta, quarter of the placenta?
Yeah, so you definitely need the entire placenta if you're going to bank with us, but we have had parents encapsulate with us in the past, and in those cases they can store the cord blood and cord tissue. And so you can still definitely store stem cells with us and then separately encapsulate. And yeah, you, like I said before, even if you sign up for all three and then decide last minute you want to encapsulate, you can just send in your cord blood and cord tissue to us, and then separately encapsulate your placenta. Yeah, we try not to split it up because we technically take the stem cells from the placenta amnion. Okay. We just try to keep it whole. And also I think it, yeah, logistically gets a little messy. So, we just try to ask parents to make a choice. And either way we can support it and still store stem cells for the parents.
Yeah. Okay. So that being said, when you guys are looking at pros and cons of placenta encapsulation versus placenta storage, right? I think that there is an argument to be made from someone who is a placenta encapsulation specialist that the data and research we have on placenta encapsulation, you could accomplish with food, right? Like we have access, if you have access to nutritious food, versus the future of the science, we have no idea like what 30 years from now, 50 years from now, for our adult children even, of the power of banking that placenta. So that is really something to take seriously, of like a 2 to 3 week immediate postpartum benefit versus like the opportunity of utilization of, like you said, like I know that Anja Health cannot say things like life-saving and life-changing, but like I can, because that's my opinion. that's my opinion. And so I get to say, I get to say things like that as my opinion. So anyway, I think that's the end of my clients' questions and my Instagram audience's questions. I wanted to just kind of wrap it up, though, from a doula's perspective, you guys, because we were talking about like Jagger's story, right? And if that was Jagger's story. And one of the things that's so easy about working with Anja Health is after birth. So like Catherine had mentioned, there's this QR code, there's a phone number, but the courier gets there very quickly. And then it gets on a plane and it goes to New Jersey, and you're informed every step of the way. And so if I was that pretend client, you know, back then, I would just say that working with Anja Health is very easy, and the customer service is wonderful. The branding is also beautiful and great.
Thank you.
But I really enjoy picking companies, because there are several competitors to Anja Health. But I really do enjoy and endorse companies where I have profound respect for the shareholders, the investors, and especially the CEO and the visionaries, and that have a personal story. And so that is why I exclusively partner with Anja Health for the Birth Story podcast and for my private doula clients. I really appreciate you being here again, Catherine, and sharing with us about cord blood and tissue and placenta banking. And I hope everyone will go to anjahealth.com and engage with you and your community. Is there anything else that I didn't ask you or you want to make sure that you leave the audience knowing?
I guess I would just say on that note, if you're looking at other cord blood banks too, one big difference is for sure a lot of customers say that the story resonates and they feel like we can be the most sort of transparent with them. And also we offer placenta banking, which a lot of other companies don't. So you can definitely get the greatest volume and variety of stem cells with us. And then also our affordability aspect. I know the best healthcare is free, but in terms of cord blood banks, we don't require thousands up front, which many others do. And we have buy now, pay later options, and we'll pretty much work with families to fit their birth budget to the extent that we can support families. We're always willing to do it, even if it's something like finding a doula or something like that. We will try our best. You can find us on any social media platform as Anja Health, so you can really get a deeper look into everything we do. That's a large portion of, I think, why parents choose us is the affordability, the meaning behind the company, and the fact that we do placenta banking. So if anyone is on the fence, I hope that you'll consider those reasons.
Yep. And I will leave it at Catherine and I both hope that you do not have to use this, like that you never find yourself in a neurologist's office with your child having to utilize this. But I do think that just having this conversation is peace of mind for many of you, so that if the unthinkable happens to your child, a family member, a loved one, that how cool. When you have no control, sometimes it's nice to have a piece of control or something that you can have. And so I'll leave it at that. You heard my story. I would do anything to have this for my child. And the fact that he has had to go on this journey all by himself and do all the hard work with PT and OT and speech without, because I made a dumb decision when I was pregnant to not bank cord blood. And I cannot, you get one shot. You can't undo it. You either decide or you didn't. And before I get too emotional, I'll just leave it at that. Thank you for considering banking your cord blood in your tissue and your placenta with Anja Health. And Catherine, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Birth Story. My goal is you will walk away from each episode with a clear picture of how labor and delivery might go, and that you will feel empowered by the end of your pregnancy to speak up, plan, and prepare for the birth you want, no matter what that looks like.